Certainly good to be with you this evening. I know, enjoyed the time that we've had with each other this afternoon. Thankful for those who prepared the food. We always enjoy the fellowship that we have with one another. Tonight we are going to continue to talk about the holiness of God. If our highest priority is to do the will of God and to bring glory to His name, then we are going to be attracted to the holiness of God. This morning we talked about the meaning of holiness, and we noticed that to be holy means to be set apart. And we noticed how that applied to the holiness of God. God is set apart. He is set above all of His creation. And then we notice how God is set apart from all evil. How He is set apart from all darkness. He is absolutely holy. And then secondly, we talked about the beauty of holiness. And holiness is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to see the children of God striving to live holy. Well, tonight we're going to add one more point to our lesson, and we're going to look at a couple of passages, a couple of contexts that we'll develop this point from. Tonight we want to talk about the challenge of holiness. And the first context that I would like for us to turn to is found in Isaiah chapter 6. We mentioned Isaiah 6 in our introduction this morning as we began to talk about this particular attribute. And this is the only attribute that is used repeatedly. The holy God is holy, holy, holy. And we're going to see that in Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 3. But I want you to be thinking about the challenge of holiness from Isaiah chapter 6. We'll begin in verse number 1, and we see that Isaiah is going to see a vision, and in this vision he is going to see the holiness of God, and you're going to see the challenge in that. He sees the holiness of God, and then a challenge is presented for Isaiah. Beginning at Isaiah 6, verse 1, in the year that the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. Verse number 3, and one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphims, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. As you think about this vision that is recorded for us, this vision that Isaiah saw in seeing the holiness of God, when Isaiah saw the holiness of God, how holy He was, Isaiah saw his own uncleanness. It was because of the holiness of God that Isaiah was able to see the sin problem. You'll notice there again in verse number 5 how Isaiah responds to the holiness of God. Woe is me, for I am undone. But what I want you to consider from Isaiah chapter 6 is that when Isaiah saw the holiness of God. He didn't run away. He didn't run away. And the holiness of God, as we just said, helped Isaiah to see his own sin problem. But then as you continue to read in verse number 6, in verse number 7, we see that Isaiah is going to acknowledge his sin problem. And then the action of the angel in the vision was symbolic of purging. And what I want you to see as this relates to the holiness of God, God took the initiative so that Isaiah could be cleansed, so that Isaiah would be able to be in God's presence, who is holy. Let's turn to another example, another context that really centers around the holiness of God. If you would, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17. Before we actually look at Leviticus 17, let's back up to Leviticus chapter 11. And here in Leviticus chapter 11, around verse 44 and 45, you're going to see the challenge. That challenge was issued to Israel to be holy. It says in Leviticus chapter 11, verse number 44, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves." And notice the challenge. "Ye shall be holy, for I am holy, neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." God is challenging His people to be holy. Remember the context, the setting of the book of Leviticus. God just brought His people out of Egyptian bondage. He redeemed them and He was about to bring them into the promised land. And during that time we see that not only did God redeem them, but God gave them a law. He gave them a law to live by. And that law would be for their benefit. That law would teach them how to be holy. But you see the challenge. You see the charge. God says, "I want my people to be holy." Holiness is really the theme to the book of Leviticus. As you go through the book of Leviticus, the idea of holiness is seen over 80 times in the book. The holiness of God, or God speaking about His holy people. Holiness is the theme of the book, but the question really is, how can an unholy people approach a holy God? We noticed the meaning of holiness this morning. And we notice that God is light and in Him is no darkness. From Isaiah chapter 6, because of the holiness of God, Isaiah saw the sin problem. And here as we turn to the book of Leviticus, God wants His people to be holy. But how can God's people be holy? How can an unholy people approach a holy God? Well, the book of Leviticus gives us the answer. And as you open the book of Leviticus, you'll notice just in the first eight chapters, you see sacrifice upon sacrifice upon sacrifice. An unholy people can approach a holy God through sacrifice. Now that brings us to Leviticus chapter 17, and we'll make the application in just a few minutes. In Leviticus chapter 17, we read of another great passage that really speaks about the holiness of God and how an unholy people can approach a holy God. We said through sacrifice. But notice Leviticus 17, verse number 11. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." It's only through the blood. Only through sacrifice can we approach a holy God. We see that in Isaiah chapter 6. We see that God took the initiative. God provided a way for Isaiah to approach Him. And here in the book of Leviticus, God is challenging His people to be holy, and God provided a way for His people to be holy. God wants His people to be holy. And the same challenge that we see in the book of Leviticus is also made to spiritual Israel. Let's look at the last context that I wanted us to consider as we think about the challenge of holiness. And you'll notice this morning we ended on this point from the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. But I want to read that again in 1 Peter 1, beginning at verse number 13, where the Apostle Peter encourages us to gird up the loins of our mind and to be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You'll notice as we read these verses, God doesn't want us to be conformed to this world. He wants us to come out from among the world, and He wants us to be separate. We see that charge also in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, where Paul says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Here Peter is saying, don't be conformed to the world, but be holy. Remember, without holiness, no man shall see God. But a lot of times as we look at this charge to be holy, we see the challenge. God is absolutely holy. There is absolutely no way that I can be holy. You stop and think about what God is saying. God never told us that we are to be as holy as He is. God is absolutely holy. And there's never a time where we will be absolutely holy, because sin is something that we struggle with. But we are to strive to be holy because He is holy. What you see here in 1 Peter chapter 1 is an attitude toward holiness. And like Isaiah didn't run away from the holiness of God. And we shouldn't run away from the holiness of God. We should be drawn to the holiness of God. Because if we understand the holiness of God, we're going to strive to be God's holy people. And we realize that we're not going to be perfect. But God has provided a means for us to be holy. We notice in the Old Testament with Isaiah, God provided a means. With His people in the book of Leviticus, God provided a way to be holy. Remember, how can an unholy people approach a holy God? Through sacrifice. And that's what we have in Jesus Christ. You know, as I've read this context several times on the holiness of God, I've never made that connection with sacrifice from 1 Peter chapter 1, but it's right there in the context. All you have to do is drop down to verse number 18. And in verse number 18, we learn that we've been redeemed, not by corruptible things, not with silver and gold, but we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We have redemption through that blood, Ephesians 1, verse number 7. We can, draw near to God through the blood of Jesus Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 13. We can be God's holy people because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We also made the point from the book of Leviticus that God gave His people a law. God has given us a law to live by. And God wants us to live by that law, by His Word, because His Word teaches us how to live holy. And God knows that we're not going to be perfect. God knows that we are going to make a mistake. But as we strive to be holy, as we strive to walk in the light as He is in the light, we see that it's the blood of Jesus Christ that continually cleanses us as we confess our sins. In 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, John says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why does God take the initiative to continually cleanse us so that we can live a holy life? But living a holy life is a challenge. It's not easy. It can be very difficult. But with God's help, we can be holy. God wants us to be holy because He is holy. And that's the challenge that He has given His children. To come out from among the world and to live separate. Not to be like the world, but to live differently. The world will think that we're strange when we live a holy life. Peter is going to make that point later on in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. The world will think that you're strange, that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. What does that mean? The world will think that you're strange, that you are striving to please God, that you're striving to be holy, that you are striving to abstain from those fleshly lusts which war against your soul. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 11. I hope this lesson this morning and this evening has reminded you about the holiness of God. As we think about the holiness of God from Isaiah chapter 6, don't run away from the holiness of God. Explore it. Study more about the holiness of God. Because as you study the holiness of God, you will get to know God better in a more intimate way. When you know the Holy One, then you will be in a position to live a holy life. Tonight, if we can help you live that holy life, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.